Welcome to the Temple of Geek podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, my name is Lacey, and I'm joined by my co-host Nick on today's episode. This podcast is a place to geek out about all things fandom, geek, cosplay, nerd lore, and on this episode, we are geeking out all about the Renaissance Fair. In keeping with that topic, our guest is a Ren Faire veteran and vendor, Molly of Kraken Whip. So whether you're a returning listener or a new friend, come along with us on a little adventure into the world of Ren Faire.
Good morrow and welcome, fair gentles, to a very special info dump episode of the Temple of Geek podcast. We are geeking out all about the Renaissance Fair, the Renaissance Festival, the Ren Faire, as the season is upon us. What even is a Ren Faire? How do you survive the Ren Faire? What do you do there? How do you talk? What do you wear? I have my co-host Nick with me, and we have a very special guest, Molly of Kraken Whip. Say hello, Molly! Welcome!
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I'm so excited. Nick, you've been to like one Ren Faire, right?
Yeah, in my adult life, yeah. In this, I'm the newbie. I'm the inexperienced one who will ask all the questions because I actually want to know all the answers. So this is perfect for me.
Good. I'm going to start with a baseline of like, what the heck even is a Renaissance Fair? What do you think a Ren Faire is, Nick? I mean, you've been to one. How would you describe it?
Oh, geez. Well, it's based around the Renaissance period. My more experience is in the last year and a half, I've been doing a lot of LARP. So essentially getting to immerse yourself to whatever level that you want in activities, in food, just experiencing all the finer elements of a particular time period. That is kind of my perception of this, but I could be way off base.
Immersion is one of the big things about Ren Faire that sets it apart. And I think that a lot of newbies aren't prepared for. I had one friend that was like, when you talk about this, you need to touch on that, like, the cast will interact with you. I wasn't prepared for it. So a Ren Faire is an immersive combination.
Strangers will talk to you.
Strangers will talk to you, and they will be fully improvising at you. I personally have a hard time. I freeze when someone improvs at me, whether it's in cosplay or at Disneyland parks. Like, Nick, I see your videos at Disneyland where you're like gigging with them. And I'm just like,
oh yeah. One thing I really relate with when it comes to Ren Faire, when it comes to LARP, when it comes to interacting with somebody in characters, I'm a theater kid. So I grew up in theater. So like when somebody does that, like I'm trying to play off of that. And I find everybody who does it has a different comfort level of what that is. What I've actually found is that whoever is there interacting with you are ready for anybody at any level. Whether you want to kind of fully dive in with that, whether you are going to kind of freeze up and they'll just kind of play off of that. I find that no matter kind of what level of comfort you have, is that they are ready to create an experience for you regardless.
Yes, I found that too. I'm also a theater kid, and personally, I hate audience participation at shows. I absolutely freeze. I get that, you know, I didn't study my lines kind of nightmare immediately. But one thing that I love about how it happens at fair is that, well, one, you can always just tell someone, be gone. And that is the most satisfying thing. If a stranger comes up to you and tries to do a bit, you can just be like, be gone. And when would you get to say that in life? But they can tell pretty quickly if you're not into it. No one's there to harass you. They're there to enhance your experience. And they're trained to read your language.
Yeah. So a Renaissance Fair is an immersive blend of reenactment, shopping, shows, and just kind of playing. Most fairs have a joust.
Yes.
That's usually like the big thing you have to go see. My favorite booth, at least at the SoCal Fair and there at other fairs, is Braids for Maids. You can get your hair braided in lovely styles with ribbons that last for days. I have a bunch of friends there.
That's exactly what I'm going to have to do. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yes. Nick, yes, you have to. You're going to look so cute.
I want to look cute and pretty.
If you're listening on audio, Nick is bald.
What? This is brand new information.
It's the first I'm hearing of it.
Shocked. How dare you call me out like that? Do they like hot glue? Is it Staples? How do they?
The finest of spirit gums.
Excellent.
Anyway, it's a matter of, there's activities, there's shopping, there's rides sometimes. There's a ton of different sizes. Some of them have permanent villages that are permanently there, that different things come in and out.
Can I bring us back to like the beginning? Could you just show up and buy a ticket there to get in? Or is it best to kind of go online? I know there's different Ren fairs around the world, but...
You can.
It depends.
It depends. I like to pre-purchase. Sometimes... the on-site ticket purchase line is shorter.
What to bring? What are some of the essential things that I should bring and or where?
The main thing, I have extensively polled my Ren Fair community. The main thing is closed-toed comfortable shoes and water.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say.
There's two things that I would probably add as like the second tier. Cash. Because while a lot of vendors take card, most food vendors, I don't know why, only take cash. And then also sun protection, sunscreen, sleeveys, hat. Different sites have different layouts and setup and stuff, but those are the baseline things.
Absolutely. I almost always have electrolyte packets on me as well. Every single time I've attended a fair rather than vending at one. Actually, when I'm vending too, I end up distributing them sometimes because there's usually someone who just looks a little bit like they've had a little too much sun. And so trying to keep everybody hydrated is important.
When I went to a Ren Fair just this last year, we pointed out that I have no hair, so I have no like protection. Mm-hmm. So just basically had just like a red bandana to tie on my head, just to protect this dome. Yeah. Thank you. Which it was a lifesaver, to be honest, because you're out all day and you just don't realize that the sun's beating down on you that whole time mm-hmm. until it's too late.
It's so fun. It's easy to lose track.
Okay. My next question is, of course, comfortable shoes, but attire, because I think a lot of people that are going to be newer to Ren Fair are anxious about looking the part or what to wear, or can you go in just regular current times clothing? What are the guidelines for Ren Fair?
There almost aren't any anymore. It's an environment in which dress up is highly encouraged, but I think when fairs first started, they were a lot closer to historical reenactment because that was sort of the framework that they were building off of. And so if anyone listening to this is anxious that they won't show up historically accurate enough, very few people care about that. And the ones who do, they care too much. I'm sorry. What I mean to say is that there's a lot of that actually, but the folks who are looking for historical reenactment usually find historical reenactment, and the folks who want a Ren Fair are finding the Ren Fair, which is really fun to see. As a vendor, the demographic has definitely been changing over the last 10 years or so, and it's changed a lot since I was a kid. So it doesn't need to be historically accurate, but having something that makes you feel the part will be lovely. So if you're a kind of person who wants to twirl in a skirt, wear a skirt. If you think that a big hat would be helpful to you, great, do it. I find that the number one thing that makes me feel like I'm not fully immersed is if I don't have something to drink out of. So for me, often it's been my first purchase. If I've ended up at a Ren Fair and I didn't plan to go and I'm not in garb, I get a mug first because I just cannot drink out of plastic cups at a Ren Fair.
Some people will have like full Elizabethan gowns, tons of LARPers from the LARP game.
Lots of folks come as their D&D characters.
I will say, having looked up kind of period clothing online for both LARP and Ren Fair, you can get some decent looking stuff for pretty cheap and, you know, mm-hmm. have it delivered to you in a couple days if you're unsure. There's a lot of options now.
It's true. Yeah. And you really don't have to have it all together before you go. Mm-hmm. A lot of the fun of it is finding stuff as you go. And the best looks that I've seen are built over years. Most people who end up devoting significant time, attention, and money to their journey with the Ren Fair, they add something each year and they've got a couple of different looks. Because this is so much of my life at this point, I have a wardrobe that I cycle through. Like I actually just have a whole set of garb and I'm not wearing it right now because it's all at SoCal.
And it's okay to come in everyday clothes. Like,
absolutely.
No one's really going to give you a hard time. You can rent a costume at most fairs. There's usually a booth near the front.
That's true.
Which makes it easier to shop if you're like wearing something already and you're like, oh, okay, like I could get a skirt that goes with this or a belt or an accessory or something. And then you start building around it, because at a lot of fairs, it's restricted to like artisanal, like handmade stuff only, not resale of like super cheap stuff. So the stuff that you usually will get at a Ren Fair lasts and is handmade. There's like 10 different clothing vendors at the Southern Fair.
At least.
There's like a lot. It's huge. Yeah.
One of my garb pieces is a skirt that was a hand-me-down from my friend of longest acquaintance. His mom was a washerwoman at the Texas Ren Fair in the 70s. And I am still wearing her skirt every season.
Made to last.
Not every day, every season, but I wear it a lot. So I know that it can be tempting sometimes to be like, oh, well, let me get a look and I just want to get something really inexpensive. I think when you go, it's entirely possible that you'll start to see, oh, okay, there are other things that are possible here. And I'd rather have like one really gorgeous skirt than some that aren't going to survive the washing machine.
Yeah. Clothing-wise, the most difficult or expensive pieces that you'll really want to think about before investing are bodices and shoes. There are some very, very nice shoemakers. They run in the $200 to $400 range, but they will last your entire life.
Some of the boots with 12 buttons, those can be like $800, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're expensive, but you will never need to buy another pair. So you need to think about it before you purchase. Reminder, you do not have to tight lace your bodice. There are paramedics on site at pretty much every Ren Fair. We can get into that if that's later on in your questions, Nick, in spare survival.
No, I want to talk about the tight lacing thing for a minute.
Let's talk about tight lacing.
So the real risk with tight lacing at a Ren Fair is that if you are tight laced from the beginning of the day, there's often a lot of alcohol consumption at the Ren Fair. You may be drinking all day, having a lovely time, think you're doing fine. Unlace yourself to drive home and everything hits your bloodstream at once. That actually does happen if you are tight laced into a corset. And I've heard it happen at Ren Fair where someone was like, well, can't drive home for another hour, I guess. I'm just hanging out in this parking lot.
You heard it here, kids.
Yep.
Don't tight lace and drink.
Drink and then tight lace.
Okay, since we talked about this, I want to know about shopping. Obviously, the different fairs might have different vendors, but what are the typical things we can look for, types of shops that are there? I need to know what I need to save up for.
There's going to be clothing. There's going to be armor. There's usually ceramics. There's a wide variety of jewelry at most Ren Fairs. Flower crowns, weapons. What else?
Woodworking.
Yes.
There's always those little dragon puppets.
I love those.
There's like puppets and toys. Yeah, so they'll like mount on your shoulder and they have a little, have you seen those Pikachu hats or the bunny hats where if you squeeze the ends of them, they like go, the ears go up? No? Okay.
I have not, but that sounds delightful.
Okay, so they have a little like tube with a squeeze bulb so you can actually make them like move a little bit. So you got this little guy, there's a little dragon guy on your shoulder and he'll twitch around and it's very cute.
You can thread the control down your sleeve so that you're doing it with your hands, and while people are looking at the puppet, then it's a good illusion. Yeah. They're fun.
Masks, accessories, crowns. Shout out to Roxy Rose Creations with all the big.
I get to meet her. I'm so.
I've met her. She's lovely.
She's going to be at the SoCal.
Yes, I can't wait. Roxy makes these amazing crowns with like crystals and stuff. So you'll find a wide variety. There's also food vendors as well. There's like a Welsh cakes vendor. There's a honey vendor, garlic vendor,
tea.
Sometimes
coffee, but all of my favorite teas I order from vendors that I've met at various fairs. Yeah,
Spice Trader Teas has this, like, the best chais. Their pirate chai is so delicious.
Oh my god. Spice Trader Teas.
Spice Trader Teas.
They finally sell by the pound. Finally.
Yes.
Having been to a couple of Ren Fairs, like I tend to be a little more health conscious most of the time for trying to keep up a diet, but like when I'm there, like, oh no. No, it is not. It is not time to stay on a diet there.
It's like, turkey leg time.
Turkey legs are high protein. You're walking all day. Like, come on.
I have dietary restrictions, so eating at fair is quite challenging for me. I'll usually talk to like at the gate because most fairs have a restriction on like bringing in food. I can't eat most stuff at a fair, so I'm like, listen, this is medical. I will patronize the hell out of everybody here, like, I'm eating a Go Macro bar. I'm eating 5 Go Macro bars and 18 oranges. I usually have like a bunch of Cuties oranges with me because they're portable and you can give them to people. They're pre-packaged and they're delicious and healthy. And it's also just people are delighted when you pull an orange out of your pocket.
That is true. A lot of fairs have In-N-Out. If you have like a picnic cooler packed in your trunk, you can leave, eat what you need to eat, come back. That's not always okay, but usually okay. It's worth considering if that's a thing you might need.
So you mentioned with some of these things, you mentioned like weapons and armor. Like, this is not like a theme park. If you've never been to a Renfair, it's not like a theme park where you're going to get a plastic toy. Like, this is like actual, actual swords, actual weapons, actual armor.
The toy versions are wooden at Renfair. You can get toy swords, but they're wood. And children who are not used to wielding actual weapons will think that they're bapping you with foam, and they're not.
So, beware of children.
Something that a lot of fairs have is like fencing or dueling lessons, archery, knife throwing, axe throwing,
ninja stars. Yes.
Yeah. There's all kinds of activities.
Yeah, we definitely did archery last time. My bow was kind of not working as properly as everybody else. So I'm going to blame it on that other people scored better than me, but it's definitely not because I sucked at it.
Whatever weapons you bring in, they have to be piece tied so that you can't, you know, draw it for a duel or anything like that.
Yeah, you can't wear naked steel unless you are part of the cast. Oh, one other thing that like is there, the reenactment part of it. Usually it's Queen Elizabeth. Some places will be set in different areas and there are various courts. So there's like a Florentine court, there's the Queen's court, there's a French court, and there's all these casts who are reenactors. And so you'll see them walking around, interacting with each other. They may talk to you. They're all like in the parade at the start and the end of the day. And that's a big part of the immersion of it. They're all playing a part. There's also my favorite, the Puritans. There's just packs of them roving around.
So why are they your favorites? I have to know.
I have some theories.
They're so funny. So it's just, they are so committed to being just like the stankiest and like the most outrageous. Like, they'll sermonize at you. They'll pray for you. They're all heathens. The Puritans have a very high level of improv because they are interacting with people a ton and they're just really outrageous. They'll just look down their nose at you and just judge you. It's very fun.
If you're listening, you're missing Lacey's face, which is fabulous at the moment.
Yeah, my face doesn't really translate to an audio medium. You just have to see it.
My face doesn't either. I'm really super attractive in real life.
What was your next question that I derailed us from?
You know, Molly works the circuit. So like, could you tell us about what your store is and what you sell?
Sure. I am the co-owner of Crack and Whip. We make leather pocket belts, holsters, ruffle tops, things like that. My husband and I own the business together, Wynn Wallace. You may have seen us at SoCal, at Bristol. The Northern California Ren Fair is our home fair. And I think I first started going to Ren Fairs when I was a kid. My grandparents thought it would be a fun idea to bring the family. The rest of my family was like, that was a cool thing we did once. And I was like, I have a new life goal. There's been many detours along the way, but I want to say, you know, some variant of all roads lead to Rome. All theater kids end up at Ren Fair at some point. And I just never left. So I started working for this leather company about 10 years ago. And about 5 years ago, we really started becoming a presence in the booth. And we started really making friends, not just with the rest of the cast and folks who were working it, but patrons. You know, there are some who come every single week and I know exactly when to look for them. I love saying hi. And we just fell in love with it. And then when the original founder was ready to say, you know what, this isn't for me anymore, we decided, you know what, we're going to buy the business. We're going to do this. So we are actually full-time Rennies running our own leather shop now, which is kind of the dream.
Do you have a top-selling item?
Ooh, it's kind of a three-way tie between our holster, our regal belt, and the rough top. We probably sell the most of our regal belts, which are utility belts. It's a built-in pocket belt system. I am actually wearing one at the moment, and there's like 500 behind, not 500. But my joke about them is that they do everything except hold up your pants. I swing mine around when I'm looking for things because I can't always see through my natural gifts and have to find what's in that pocket. I think what's most iconic for us might be the ruffle top, which is not a historical garment at all. And I often joke that all of the creativity went into the design and not the name at all, but it's just a ruffle that goes around your neck and fastens either at your underbust or natural waist, depending on how you want to style it. And it creates this really regal collar pop. And I've noticed over the last couple of years, especially, folks will come in and be like, oh, that's where these come from. So that might be the most like, oh, that's Crack and Whip iconic thing that we're known for.
Do you have a particular favorite?
The belts, for sure. It's the Regal belts. I wear mine to the grocery store. I wore it to Comic-Con. I wore it to China. Like, I have the kind of brain that I need 25 pens at all times, because if they're not within arm's reach, I can't function. So having everything right on me, it really helps. That's something that I use every day. And it was the first thing I got from this company.
I was watching Sense8 on Netflix, and like, there's a scene where Freema Agyeman's character, she's wearing a rough top. And I was like, I took a picture, I sent it to Molly, and I was like, that's a Crack and Whip. Because there's nothing else. No one else makes these. They're so unique.
Yeah.
I can spot a Crack and Whip. And that rough top, I was like, yes, I have one. I've worn it to the goth club. It's like black. It's got this like crinkly, kind of like sparkly texture on it. People are like, what is that? Don't you wish you know? Just kidding. I'll tell you immediately because I think you should have one too. I am not gatekeeping.
Thank you. That's actually a really good point about Renfair, though. I think a lot of folks assume it's very gatekeepy. And overall, especially right now, it is not. Your friend who goes to the Renfair, they probably want to bring you to the Renfair. So you just need to ask.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When we were in Colorado. We were out for something else. And then it took like a couple people to be like, oh, there's a Renfair going on. Let's get a group together and go. So like we just all hopped in and like the group kept growing. And we had a great time. In fact, there were so many of us that we had to form different groups to go in. Because like you can't, if you have a large group, you can't keep track of everybody. There's too many things going on. You got to make little smaller groups to go with.
Decide on a couple of shows to meet at or something like that. But divide and conquer.
Exactly.
For sure.
Let's talk about shows. You guys got to see Jacques Z. Whipper, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah, that was my first time seeing Jacques Z. Whipper. That was one of the main things that some people in our group really wanted to go to the Renfair for, was seeing Jacques Z. Whipper, who's got millions of followers out there on the socials.
Yeah, he captured a big segment of the TikTok audience. So fair performers are very respectful of each other's circuits. There's already like whip performers out in the West, so he doesn't really come out here much. He did do a show in LA, the Whippy Show, with a few other performers. It was so fun. I loved like the whip shows, the fire eating shows. We have a mutual friend of Nick and I, Sai, who does sword swallowing.
I was about to say Sideshow Sai. I love him so much.
It's like, I just love sideshow type shows. The patter, the talking with the audience participation. I personally got to gently pull a sword out of Sai's throat, and I felt so honored and excited to do so. He sang me happy birthday on his stage. I was cosplaying as Yaskier from The Witcher, and I had a banner on me that said birthday bard. It was one of my best fair days ever.
That may have been the day I met you, actually.
I think it might have been, because Sai was at your booth and we were talking.
I think we've made him like 4 holsters at this point. When we first started having rose gold hardware, I think he got the first all black holster with rose gold hardware, which was absolutely stunning. And the patrons never got to see it. He was walking by before fair even opened. And he was like, I'm putting a deposit on it now. So he paid for half of it. And he was like, depending on how my next show goes over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to get this. And he, you know, he's amazing. So he came back later that day and was like, tips were great. I'm taking it. And I was like, great. Awesome.
Oh yeah. Wears holsters all the time. So like, yeah, perfect. Yeah. Perfect person to have your holsters out there.
See, you know, our stuff.
Tips. We should talk about tipping.
Yes.
You'll hear the like, this is how I make my way in the world, blah, 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 tip, tip, tip. tip your performers. Like, it really is
absolutely
the way they make their way in the world. And those tips are hugely beneficial for them. So please donate what you can as you are going and enjoying the performances that they give you.
Definitely.
Sometimes some performers will have, like, if you tip a certain amount, you can get something from them.
There's some good merch out there now. A lot of folks have pins, stickers. I've seen card games even, Barely Balanced at Bristol. I think they have a card game that you can play that you can get from them that's cool.
That's cool. I didn't know about that.
So when it comes to entertainment, what kind of performances can we expect at some of these fairs? Sword swallowing. There's some whip acts.
Acrobatics.
Fire eating.
Most fairs have a Shakespeare if they're set during Elizabeth's reign.
Yeah.
So there usually will be performances or truncated performances of Shakespeare's works.
Not the full thing? Come on.
They just do the entire day as one long.
I've got several hours to waste.
It's also very irreverent Shakespeare.
Yes.
Which, as someone who has a degree in that, I love especially. This is not your by the book Shakespeare. This is some really goofy productions. There's actually a new show at NorCal that just premiered last year, I think, that's called D&D in Shakespeare. And I forget the name of the performer, but he has the audience pull Shakespeare characters and then play them against D&D monsters. And it's fantastic. It's super fun.
That's great. There's theatrical, there's musical. The Merry Wives of Windsor are a big one. They're a SoCal-based female singing group. Poxy Boggards is another one. There's, I forget her name, the hurdy-gurdy girl who plays a hurdy-gurdy. Most fairs have an 18 and up stage. You'll get carded to get in, and it's not for kids. So there's more body and spicy and sweary and extra irreverent content on those, which is very fun. And there's usually a very nearby ale stand for you to patronize.
Yes.
It's an important combination.
Yes.
And it's not burlesque. Like, I just want to be clear that the 18 and over, actually, it's not that spicy. It's very cheeky, I think, is how I would describe it. It's a lot more innuendo. Yeah.
Most fairs are family friendly overall. And then if you want something that's a little spicy, you just go over. It's called Rogue's Reef at SoCal Fair. Just get a little spice on. Different fairs have different names for it. It's usually got a sign. Be ready to pull your ID out. Present thine papers.
And usually a pirate at the door.
Usually what?
A pirate at the door checking your papers.
Yeah, there's usually a pirate. It's usually piratey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you said that one of the big shows presentations is jousting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like what, how do they present that, and what kind of show can people usually expect?
There's an arena with horses, and they usually have a bunch of like pageantry presenting, like there's going to be these games and like fight battles for honor, straight up jousting, like A Knight's Tale.
There we go.
A formative film for me and many other millennials. The joust.
Lacey, you have been weighed, you have been measured, and you have been found wanting.
I really have.
Not wanting in a less than way, wanting in a thirsty way.
A bit parched, would we say?
So thirsty, I just go.
Remember, hydrate.
Hydrate. Yeah. It's okay to be thirsty at the Renaissance Fair as long as you hydrate.
Amen.
Jousting.
They usually do like two shows or three per day. It kind of depends on what Knights Guild or Riders Guild or whatever is doing the joust. There's a bunch of pageantry. They like pack you into the bleachers. And sometimes they'll give you like an affiliation of like who to root for. And then they joust and they break lances on each other. And it's a bunch of stunt riders who are very good at their jobs. A bunch of stunt horses who are very good at their jobs, who deserve all the pets and the oats.
Sometimes there's like a dressage show in addition to the joust. So if you really want to see the horses, but you don't want to be packed into the crowds in that way, that's often a little less crowded. So that's a great way to check that out. In my experience, there's often a couple of jousts throughout the day at the bigger fairs. And yeah, the last one is like the one to the death. That's the one with the blood. And sometimes there's a storyline going through the whole day if you see all of the jousts. I barely get to go. I am in my booth from opening parade to closing parade before and after. The only time I know what time it is the joust, is because it lulls down enough for me to like have a snack. And I'll look around and be like, oh, it must be the joust.
It's like being at a theme park, and when the parades and fireworks are going on, that's the best time for the rides.
That's the best time to go shopping.
Bingo. Dust, though. It's so dusty at joust.
Yes.
Fair sites tend to be very dusty in general. You have a bunch of foot traffic. It's a good idea to carry a mask or a bandana, especially like around the time of parades, getting in and out of the joust. Oh, when pub crawl comes by, there's usually like 100 of them. Oh, pub crawl is a special ticket within the fair. You get a guide and they take you to every single ale stand and you drink your way through fair. And it's very loud and raucous and dusty. No, I've heard it's really fun.
It seems like fun.
It's a very fair thing.
You mentioned that some of the fairs have different eras.
The one in Kentucky is much earlier than the Elizabethan era. I can't remember exactly their time period. But there's also always like Viking weekends too, or Viking themes. And this is another thing that I'd like to point out to anyone who's like really anxious about the historical reenactment part, is that us in this year are closer to Anne Boleyn than Vikings are. And Vikings are at nearly every Ren Fair. So it's fine, you know, any era. But I'm trying to remember which fairs do different eras specifically.
I'm looking at King Richard's to see if it's like set during that era, but I can't tell. Mm-hmm. The Corona Fair is set in they have a German baron instead of the queen, but I forget if it has a specific time period. Usually the different guilds in a fair are set in a specific period.
Yes.
They have like costuming standards specific to that time period so that they can provide that like village immersive experience. When you walk into Southern Fair, there's like a village set up with a blacksmith, leather working, jeweler, like all this stuff. And those are all like the Guild of St. Ives. And you can see people doing old timey arts and crafts in the original methods that were used. And it's really cool to just like sit and watch someone do leather working or make jewelry. I've lost my train of thought. It's just very cool.
I actually think that's a big part of why Ren Fairs are seeing, well, for lack of a better term, a renaissance right now. It's the fantasy of a walkable city.
Oh my God.
Right? Like we all just want walkable cities with villages where people have connections to their commerce. And that's so real, you know?
Yeah.
And it, you know, we can't talk too much about what happens backstage, but the village feel is extremely real. It is very, very real. It is not something that is put on for show up front. It is something that is part of our daily lives as vendors, I think, as performers. I mean, the village feel is real.
I think it's so much of what just in general society these days are really looking for, people kind of desire, is that sense of community, that sense of belonging, not just immersion into something, but you can go somewhere and feel like you're a part of it. I mean, like there's conventions and cosplay community, there's Ren Fairs. You can go and kind of immerse yourself in this, but also feel like you're a part of it. And you're a part of that framework that goes into that. And you get accepted with welcoming arms when you're there. You know, it's not something where like you have to prove yourself. Like, no, you show up and you're a part of it. And I think that's sorely lacking for a lot of people these days.
It's also an invitation to play. I find that that's really huge. As a leather vendor, we get asked for a lot of things that we don't make. Not that like we wouldn't make or couldn't make, just that, you know, we can't make everything. But people will be like, do you have a wand holder? And I'll be like, no, but D20 has a great one. And if you tell them that it's to go with a Kraken Whip belt, they'll put a snap on it instead of a rivet so that you can slide it through the D-ring here. And they're like, oh, but, you know, aren't they your competitors? No. I guess I'll just speak for myself, but there's a couple different schools of thoughts for vending. But to me, no other vendor is my competition. My competition is you not being able to get a day off to come to Ren Fair. That's my competition. So I think that people are really desperate for that sense of escape, that invitation to play, that invitation to just love something that they love. That's what's so great about geek culture, right? It's unapologetic love. And this is just a festival of that.
And I will say for anybody that is unsure about going to something like this is that you don't have to be a specific type of person. You don't have to be a big geek or a nerd to show up to something like this. Like these kind of environments have something for everybody. Again, you could go around just drinking and eating. I'm a very competitive person, so we ended up, our groups played a lot of games and competed against each other. I didn't win most of the time. Sarah beat me for most everything, and that's that. I'm okay with that. I'm secure a little bit with that. But yeah, there's really something for everybody. You see people of all different walks of life coming to this place, and I think that's kind of one of the magical aspects of something like Ren Faire.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So now that we've talked a lot about the different aspects of what we can find there, I need to know, how can I survive at Ren Faire? What are some of your favorite hacks?
Obviously, the comfy shoes. Pacing yourself is a good one. My favorite hack is to arrive as early as I possibly can to parking. Parking gets really crazy. I'll roll up like 9 a.m. I'll get dressed and do my makeup fully in the car, like playing music, having a nice time, eating, because I don't want to stress, like get dressed first and like stress about a line. I can just take it easy because like it's a long day. Making sure you're topped up on water. I really like the mug thing that Molly mentioned. There are mug vendors at every fair. Usually there's wooden mugs, ceramic mugs. Some people sell metal ones, pewter or tin or copper or what have you. There's lots of cups. Good thing to just always have it in your hand and always be drinking.
You said pacing. What kind of day can we expect with this? Like, how much time do most people spend at a fair?
I like to spend a good 8 hours, and that usually will involve me finding somewhere to take a bit of a nap or lie down. Most of the stages are like seating on hay bales, and there's programming throughout the day. Sometimes there's some quieter ones that are like set up as rest spaces, grassy knoll areas. You gotta be careful of the sun if you're gonna have a lay down somewhere. It's such a stimulating environment. Sound and color and people and everything is very novel. Even for like a seasoned Rennie, like, you're not in the fair every day of your life. So it's a different environment and it's a different set of stimuli, and it's usually hot and dusty.
I think the best way to take a break for me is to see a show, because then you're going to be sitting for a while. And figuring out where the shade is always helpful, especially in the heat. I'm remembering that Bristol is really in a forest and absolutely gorgeous. And our booth is at St. John's Crossing there. Well, the booth that we're hoping to buy. And there's like a little spot between us and the wicker basket seller who's next door, Bill. We love him, the wicker man. And there's just a bunch of chairs there. And you can just sit and chill there. And it's lovely. And if there are two things that I would tell anyone running a Ren Faire to make more of, it's water fountains and places to just sit and be very necessary.
So you mentioned that there are usually always paramedics, or there are always paramedics on site.
Typically.
Yes. I learned too late that any place that sells alcohol usually has a radio to get to the paramedics. So if you need help, head to a nail stand, and they are not far at most Ren Faires. There's only one I know of that doesn't have booze.
What about accessibility when it comes to a Ren Faire? What should we be prepared for?
Uneven ground. If it's muddy, mobility aids like wheelchairs or scooters are going to have difficulty navigating just because of the nature of it. And this is the same for like a music festival or a rave like Coachella or something, where you're going to have to research what is the literal lay of the land. Can I get in and out? Can I navigate? There are a lot of patrons who actually cosplay with their mobility devices. Lots of scooters that are made up to be horses or dragons or thrones. In terms of invisible disabilities like POTS or other types of things that can impede your ability to stand or tolerate heat, you're going to have to probably do double the prep that you would for a typical day out. Like going to a convention is one thing. It's usually mostly inside. There's air conditioning, ADA compliant buildings. Fair sites are outdoors, and that can be a little challenging.
Definitely.
What are your thoughts, having been to, you've been to more than I have, Molly?
I would say the same thing, that mobility devices really do struggle on uneven ground sometimes. But something that I've noticed in my experience is that the community of the vendors and often staff. There's a lot of folks who are part of the Ren Faire community who are also part of disabled communities. And so it's one of those things where the space is not necessarily hospitable, but the people really are because they get it. And a lot of them have personal experience or familial experience. And so if you're in a booth and you see a chair and you need to sit for a while, that is probably fine. It's always nice to ask, but you know, that is a thing that I would expect people to be accommodating about. One other aspect of accessibility is that there are often ASL interpreters at shows at Ren Faire. And if you've never had the pleasure of watching one, you are in for a treat. The performances with interpretation are some of my absolute favorite. They're really fantastic.
100%. Yeah. Usually there's like a guest services or information where you can ask like, hey, what's the situation for navigation, accessibility accommodations, etc. I've never met a more compassionate group of people than Ren Faire people. The community support and understanding and allyship and ability to like talk with you and understand and find a way to support you is really there.
The amount of like custom work that we've done for specific accommodations, they're some of my favorite pieces. Designing a belt for someone with severe visual impairment who was like, I do have favorite colors. I can see color, but I live alone. And so dressing myself is difficult because I don't know what will match. And so she ordered a custom belt and it was my absolute honor to be able to focus on texture for her and to like create something that was sort of like Raven's Wing shifty, where from a distance it would look all black, but then and the sun hits it and you get this like green and blue and purple because those were the other colors that she liked in her D&D character and all of that. And yeah, I'm thinking of like 10 examples of stuff that I've done, but that was one of my favorites.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was neat.
Okay, I have a completely side tangent question for each of you.
Love it.
Do you have a favorite memory or story from a Ren Faire that you could share? See, this is a difficult one.
I know.
That you can share.
Yeah.
Yep. Editing.
My favorite recent one is probably getting to go on Sai's stage and gig with him a little bit and pull a sword out of his throat. That was very cool.
Do you have any pictures or video of that?
I do. I have a video of it. I have both. I think we have a video of me pulling the sword out of his gullet.
I love that.
That would stress me out, trying to pull a sword out of somebody's
mouth. I was a little nervous, but he told me what to do, and I trusted him, and that he knew what he was doing.
Hey, if somebody's going to trust you to pull a sword out of their mouth, then yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of favorites, but the one that's coming to me right now isn't actually so much a happy memory as it is a sad one, but a very poignant one. So Angus was a fixture of the constables at the Northern California Ren Faire, and he had a bit where he would be the town drunk and he would, you know, fall asleep on a hay bale. He would fall asleep in the middle of the road. He was very often in front of our booth, in front of the Crack and Whip booth for the morning parade. So the parade would have to like go around him and this whole thing. And he just got so good at like staying still for so long that people would just kind of actually start to worry. And just when the tide would start to turn to like, is he okay? Then he would like snore very loudly and roll over, you know, and that kind of thing. You know, people would like balance cups on top of him and he'd topple them over and it was amazing. And so not this past year, but the year before, one morning he's in his tent and his alarm is going off and it's just going off. And everyone's like, Angus, you got to get up. And, you know, the alarm is still going off. And everyone's like, Angus, come on, man. Like, you got to get up. What is going on, right? Like, everyone's just so annoyed. And for lack of a better term, he woke up dead that morning. And this was like an hour before Faire opened. There was so little time to process, so little time to do anything. But there's this huge bittersweetness of, you know, he got to do his shtick one last time. Like, and the parade was going by in the morning and we're all just kind of like, what is going on? Like, you're, you know, ringing the bells and doing all the cheer, and it's the show must go on, but no one was faking it. You know, everyone was doing it for him that morning. And that was just a really beautiful day. And it was a horrible day and it was a beautiful day. And the next week, some patrons who had come every week brought pins that had his picture wood burned on them. And now I have one. And that's like one of my strongest Ren Faire memories.
That is an extremely Ren Faire memory.
Yeah.
Down to the wood burned pin with the effigy. Like, when someone in the fair community passes, like, just like everybody feels it and knows it.
Yeah.
And there's always like this bittersweet, like, mm-hmm. they're still with us, they're still part of the show vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seeing their jokes, Miguel of Don Juan and Miguel just passed. And I remember watching them when I was a kid, the jokes of, oh gosh, what was it? It's so Ren Faire niche. It's so perfect. The, like, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to, wait, no, my name is Oedipus. I killed my father. Wait, no, Luke, I am your father. Oh, just die already, you know? And the fact that, like, I can still laugh at that joke 15 years later and all of these things. I love seeing the mask maker at NorCal. He passed several years ago and people come and wear his masks, and seeing people's art, it just, it reminds you that nothing there is mass produced, that like when it is gone, it is gone. And when the creators are gone and the performers are gone, they are. And so it's this beautiful ephemeral act of living memory and shared imagination. And that's my favorite thing about it by far.
I mean, that pretty much sums up Ren Faire, is our living memories and shared imagination.
Yeah. It's very much a fantasy of history. It's not.
It is
about history.
Yeah, there's I've read several pieces on the illusion of historical accuracy, and well, how far are you willing to go? Because was your fabric woven with the original methods? Was your thread spun that way? Were your dyes sourced that way? It's all like trying to get as close as you can to something, because a lot of people build their costumes off of historical portraiture or even off of preserved gowns and stuff that we still have. But it's very much like historicity is a bit fluid, especially at a fair. There are reenactments, like SCA, I think, does more a reenactment type of thing. And that's cool too. Like, we're all striving for something in different ways. It's just like kind of like with cosplay and screen accuracy, it's like, it's cool if you want to go that way, and it's also cool if you want to do your own spin or do something that's a garment hack or what have you. Like, we're all inhabiting this play world together.
What were some of the questions that people asked?
It wasn't so much questions. It was, so I've got it up right now. Big one, all caps, wear something you can pee in a porta potty.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, it's usually porta parties out there, fam. Be prepared for that. Bring hand sanitizer.
Yes.
Let's see. Pickles and liquid IV are your best friends. Pickle vendors at fair are there not just because pickles are delicious, but because they are full of salt and electrolytes. Start your hydration on Wednesday and Thursday before you go to a fair. You can pre-game with your hydration. Hydration comes up a lot in this. Hydrate. Hydrate again. Bring electrolytes. I don't recommend heels. Eat a good big breakfast or meal before going so you aren't starving soon after arriving. Bicycle shorts might be your best friend if you have chub rub. Drink slow and hydrate. You're gonna get dirty. Just accept that you're gonna get dirty. Comfortable shoes. Stay hydrated. Sunscreen is a must.
Yes.
Don't worry how you're dressed. Everyone is different.
I will say, though, test run whatever you're going to wear. Don't make it that day being your first time wearing something. Test run and make sure, like, if it's going to rub in a particular way or something, that you're prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
You may want something to drive home in.
I have a driving caftan.
I love it.
Speech and vocabulary. This is another one that, like, kind of throws people for a loop or people get anxious about. Mm-hmm. The easiest is to replace your you and yours with thee and thy. There's some really basic ones. Usually when we meet each other, we'll say good morrow or how now, how are you doing? I think when I first did my workshops when I was working, I don't remember if it was an official workshop endorsement, but I feel like someone said Shakespeare in Love had one of the more accurate speech patterns for Elizabethan speech, because we had to take speech workshops. Some of the big fairs, you have to do like prep. Like there's improv workshops, fair survival workshops. I learned, so I had to wear a Biggins my first year, which is a type of cap. It's like a kerchief style hat-ish. Putting ice in the Biggins to stay cool. Oh, game changer. Ice in the sleeves, because I had like a chemise with big, I was like, oh. You gotta stay cool. My favorite was when a patron was like complaining about how hot he was. He was in like cargo shorts and a t-shirt, and I was just like, my brother in Christ, I am wearing 6 layers. I've got bloomers on, two skirts, an apron, a chemise, and a bodice. I did not say these things. It be hot today, good sir. Yay, verily.
Be gone.
Just throw in some these and thys and thines and thous. There's some basic grammatical rules that you got to learn for those, which is just like throw it in there. It's fine.
And you do not have to. You do not have to at all. But a well-placed huzzah. Yeah.
Hip, hip, huzzah.
You got to have huzzah.
If you hear someone at fair saying hip, hip, the response is huzzah.
Mm-hmm. I was at Emerald City Comic Con a bit ago, and someone was like, all right, we're doing a video. Like, can you give us a huzzah? And I was like, I've been training for this my whole life.
This is my time.
Right?
It's just really fun. If you have dietary restrictions, bring your snacks. Make sure you eat. Bring cash. I cannot overstate this enough.
If you're going with a group, it's a good idea to decide on a show to see together or a place to meet at a certain time if/when you get separated and if there's no cell service or anything like that. It can be nice to be like, okay, 3 o'clock, we're going to meet at this lemonade stand or something like that. That's helpful for finding folks.
Mm-hmm. Nick, do you feel fully prepared? Do you still have questions?
I feel fairly prepared, honestly. Like having been last year, I mean, all these things make sense to me of what I experienced and kind of the questions I had going into it. The cash is where I faltered on. I didn't have enough cash on me. And so there was an ATM there, but of course, like it charges up the huzzah.
I'm stealing that.
And the line for the ATM is always very long.
Yeah. So having cash and then having small bills as well for some of the games and other things and tipping.
In my experience, most vendors take card, but the fees really kind of kill us. And I have had times when folks will come to buy something and be like, well, which do you prefer? And I'll say, well, I mean, you know, the fees on credit cards are annoying, but for the performers, that's how they make their living. So if you're deciding what to do with your cash, if there's a limited amount of it, then I'd rather have you use a card for vendor and give cash to performers or have it for food. I don't want to ding anybody's turkey leg budget.
If you're rolling in cash, by all means, bring thousands of dollars in cash to the fair and shower your vendors in it. Oh, some fairs have like a marketplace weekend where if you purchase over a certain amount, a dollar amount, you get free tickets to come back. SoCal Fair that's in LA. They have a bunch of themed weekends. They have a marketplace weekend. I think is it on Pirate Weekend? Is it 500 now? Heavens! Well,
it's easier than you think.
It really is. You know how much a sword costs, you guys? Swords are expensive.
They are.
Leather is expensive. Clothing, like...
The Pandora
coat? Oh.
Pandora coats. Oh my God.
You can easily, yeah. So save up. If you are into the fantasy vibes, the Renaissance Fair is a great place to buy pieces. And there is like a huge range. I really like Opal Moon. They have this kind of like hippie vibe.
They have a very like genderqueer fae kind of vibe. They're across the street from us at SoCal, or at least they were last year. I hope they are this year too. And Inner Beast is also across the street from us. I'm so excited.
When fair came back after COVID, walking into Southern Fair, I started crying.
Same.
I was so happy to be back.
I'm such a snap. I choke up every morning and evening parade. You can see me like, it's just fantastic. You know?
It is.
Makes you feel part of something. My favorite definition of art is whatever makes you proud to be human. And this is a thing that makes me proud to be human. It's just a very weird thing that we're doing, and I like it.
I love it.
So if you're listening at home and you've never been, now's your time.
And there's fairs all over the country. It is a fairly American thing.
Very.
But there's all over America. California to Texas to Massachusetts.
At least one in every state. If you wanted to travel around to all of them, I think you could be at fair. You could be at a fair at least every month except January, I think.
I think that covers it. Thank you, Molly, for coming on our podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It was really, really fun. Talking about Ren Faire is absolutely my favorite thing, and especially because we're coming off of the winter for us, where we've been working on this stuff for months and months. And every time I'm at fair and, you know, we're vending and someone finds like the perfect belt, the perfect thing, and they just glow. And I'm like, that is what makes all the late nights in the studio worthwhile. So like, we have been working so hard this winter, and I'm so excited to see everybody.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to get out there. I'm going to have to look for Kraken Whip.
Please do.
And for this podcast, this is Lacey and my first of many. We're going to be geeking out about all kinds of topics. We love a lot of different things. So this being the start of Ren Faire season, Lacey was like, okay, I know our first one. This is it. This is the one.
I look forward to geeking out with Nick and insert guest here for many episodes to come. Huzzah!
Thank you so much for coming along with Molly and Nick and I for that. A few of my friends reached out after we'd recorded to offer some specific kid-friendly tips, so I'm simply going to shower you with those now in quick succession. Plan as though you're planning for a theme park day. Bring snacks and water for the kids. Bring a good stroller or wagon. If you choose to dress them up, try natural fabrics. Be mindful of the heat. At Southern Fair, there is Queen's College that has great hands-on crafts. There's also Kids Kingdom. You can have tea with the Queen or be knighted by the Queen. All kids love the joust because they get to see the horses. And the best part for a lot of kids is getting fair favors. Often fair cast will have little trinkets or favors that they distribute to patrons who interact with them. Bring a change of clothes. It's a long day. You never know what might happen. From another parent, it can be good to consider budget and how many rides or activities you're comfortable paying for as well. I find it's helpful with my kids to tell them going in, we're doing such and such many things, what would you most like to do? And then they're excited to choose, but understand going in that they're not going to do every ride. Another good tip is sitting down to rest and watch a show with your kid. Petting Zoo and Fairy House Place are big hits with my kids. Be aware that your kids and you may not have the stamina to stay the whole time. Decide which joust you'll go to or if there's a particular performance you'd like to not miss, and pay attention to what time that show is. If possible, try to avoid going back and forth to opposite ends of the fair because everyone will get exhausted. Another SoCal fair activity is the gnome hunt. Pick up the sheet on the way in. It's an easy activity to do as you're traveling through the Shire, Shire being the town. And that's it for this fairly comprehensive episode on the Renaissance Fair. Please reach out on the Temple of Geek socials if you'd like to get in touch. Thank you for joining us.
Huzzah!